just still the mind, I guess, and come to a state of inner peace is very much in vogue. It is very modern. It's very acceptable. Because, and here comes a difficulty where we have to think, how will we present it? Ultimately, he wants non-religious spirituality. That is, spirituality which doesn't tell him how to organize his life, but which religion often make. Religions design a particular culture, a religious culture, with do's and do-nots, dress codes, and really going into people's private bedrooms and telling them what to do there and what not to do there. So all details of human life is covered in by a religious culture. And because he is a self-determined person, the postmodern man, he has little difficulty. Now I remember, I don't know if you are aware, Kalakanta Prabhu, Prabhupada wrote once a letter to how to preach to intelligent people. Some Shukadev was the one who got it. You are aware of this, or should I send you it? Just to, because sometimes there he says, don't force them to immediately accept this and that, but gradually he will come and say on his own, I will do this and this. Something you are aware, maybe this is a famous letter. So preaching to a postmodern audience, and I believe here in the Krishna house, I understand not all our students are here. It's summer vacation, is it true?
A little bit less.
Good. Yeah, but you are here. Somehow we have met today in this Krishna house, which is a very revolutionary concept of preaching. You can think about these things, these three needs. He doesn't want a dogma. He wants spirituality, but not in a way that which describes him do this, that, and the other thing. And so he doesn't want to be told what to believe, that a dogma would do. He doesn't want to to be told what this is how you should live. But what he very much wants and really requires for his sanity is a spiritual experience. And I believe it is here where the chanting of the holy name, which is today's subject, which was communicated by iPhone to us, has a very important role to play. Now, because you are devotees, I will express to you how to, and you might like to translate that lecture, which you will hear this morning, into how will you explain this to a postmodern man? You will have to do the translation. I could do it for you. I preach a lot to big audiences, new people, yoga, and nowadays scientists even. We have founded an institute on the research of consciousness, so you're getting in this branch also, but I don't want to do the work which you have to do here, to translate it into the audiences you are preaching to. Good, this is a preface. My name is Satchinandan Swami. I'm a servant of Kalakanta Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So let us sing. Jai Radha Madhava. Kunya vi hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Kiri Varadari Gopi Jana Vallava Kiri Varadari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Daya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Chila Prabhu Pada, Daya Gauranitai, 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 Daya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari 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 Om. Om Namo Bhagavate. Oops. This is in the cellar of the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. We are reading this morning from the second canto, chapter 1, text 11. Let me just ask our Kalakanda Prabhu. We do like normal everything, yes. Or
yes, everybody has the verse on the screen. If you're
right. Okay, and will we read the whole purport?
No, you can take any parts of it you like.
Okay, just. Etam Nivityamananam Ichatam Akuto Bayam Yoginam Nare Paninitam. Hare. Namanukirtanam. Etanni vityamananam. Icchatam makutobayam. Yoginam nripanirnitam. Hare namanukirtanam. Etanni vityamananam. Icchatam akutobayam. Yoginam nripanirnitam. Hare namanukirtanam. Yes, please. Permit me, I will already go to the translation, but by word we are a little short here for time. It is nivityamananam of those who are completely free from all material desires. Ichatam. Of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Akutobayam. Free from all doubts and fear. Yoginam. Of all who are self-satisfied. O King. Nirnitam. Decided truth. Hare. Of the Lord Shri Krishna. Nama. Holy name. Anu. After someone and always. Kirtanam. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Do this a little clearer. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the vase of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Thank you so much. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. The previous verse had discussed if one regularly hears the Bhagavatam. No, if one gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one then achieves unflinching faith. That's interesting. I'm very pleased to see this. I should have known this before. Full attention and respect should be given. Shraddha dātam. Yes. Then one attains unflinching faith. So in the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. These are different types of persons who desire to access, to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. And there are different persons. Yes, generally these persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. Wow, we don't desire to get out of this world. Is this true? They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact concluded not only by him but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. It's a lengthy purport, and I will touch in my lecture about some of the points which come later in the purport, but I guess at another time it's very good if all of you, and I will read it also again, read the remainder of the purport. Please join me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatyane Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My dear devotees, some scholars, Vaishnav scholars, hold that it is here where the teachings of Shukadev Goswami begin in all earnestness, because his immediate audience, the king Parikshit, who was about to die in 7 days, had this urgent question, what should I do now where I am at the brink of death? And he had extended this question beyond his own concern. He had said, what should everyone do as they stand on the before the threshold of death? You know, we all have different ways, but it's for sure that we will all arrive at the same threshold, the threshold of death. So what should be done by the human being? Is there a solution of this great problem that that you have to die? You know, when you have to die, everything makes sense any longer. Imagine you would know tomorrow you have to die. You wouldn't take a big risk upon yourself or any big effort. You know, everything is meaningless. Now, whether you die today or tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or some days after, in principle, it doesn't make a difference. So what makes sense? Now, the human being, as he stands before this question, gives an answer to this question. That is a certain design of his life defined by his culture, a certain culture, materialistic culture with materialistic values, New Age culture with New Age values, they are also materialistic. You know, different designs, constructions. And they say, this makes sense. According to my culture, this is my moral rule, this is my ethical set, this is my value, this is my goal. But this is only it's only a blur. It's not an answer to this question. It's an attempt to pacify the mind. Yes, I reached this. Yes, I rose a family. That was good in my life. It's a culturally defined speculative answer which doesn't really solve anything. The human culture is always put to a big question mark. Does this all make sense? Is raised the moment the human being confronts death, his own death or death as such. So Parikshit says, what should I do? What works now? And this is the answer. The great authorities have said that constant chanting, not just 16 rounds, no? Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires. And so different groups of people, the desireless, the people who are full of material desires, and those who are self-satisfied. And Prabhupada adds another group, the devotees who are after the pleasure of Krishna. And he said, the text says, this is doubtless. It has been determined by the great authorities. Now this is a difference between Western culture and ancient spiritual culture. The Westerner does not accept authorities. Which authority, please? But in ancient times, to mention, Shukadev has said, the great Mahajans, everyone would put their doubts to rest. Okay. They know that I trust Bhishma Dev and all these great authorities, Yamaraj, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they can't err. I'm comfortable with this. So here is something before us, my dear devotees. Will you design your life culturally or spiritually? What is your way in which you want to solve your own existential dilemma that you have to die? You're only here for a few days. You're a temporary visitor in a hotel room in which you have to evade by 11 o'clock. That's what you hear. When I was in my cabin in New Vrindavan, it said, by 11 o'clock, leave. Hare Krishna. So, Krishna. To prepare ourselves for an eternal life which is beyond the grasp of death, you have to ask yourself the question, what is the best process? And you have to now think, okay, I want to go to an eternal life. In that life, I am not bewildered by the many desires, either for material enjoyment or for liberation from material enjoyment. I'm pure. I'm free from all this foreign element of material desires. So it means I have to become free from the foreign element of the material influences. In Hare Krishna language, we have to purify my heart. So the best method, the best process is that which purifies my heart in the best way. My dear devotees, throughout the world, spiritual cultures, spiritual authorities, spiritual teachers try to assist the human being in transforming their heart. That's their transforming their life. And this, in our language, it means it purifies us from the contaminations or the influences, you could say, of the material nature. And you have to ask yourself, where can I purify my impure heart in the best way? And as you go through the vast varieties of sadhanas or spiritual processes, your mind, your inquisitive mind, will stop and dwell automatically on the chanting of the holy name. Because in the chanting of the holy name, an element becomes active which you will not find in other sadhanas. It's a unique feature of chanting the holy name. which has to interest us, and that is that when we chant the holy name, Krishna, who is identical in, for us beginners in an inconceivable way, but who is identical with his holy name, is immediately there. And it may be difficult for us to purify our hearts, or for us who are caught in our conditioned mindset, to just pull ourselves into another consciousness. That's impossible. But Krishna can very easily purify our soul and elevate us. In Germany, as little children, we have fairy books, which we all proper German children read them. And I remember there are the incredible stories of the Baron. Is Baron, Baron is Duke, I think, isn't it? Baron Münchhausen. Do you know Baron Münchhausen? He was always, this is incredible stories. They are actually, he's called the Baron of Lies. So once with his white stallion, he galloped. And by mistake, he galloped into a swamp. But a real swamp, you know. Where with every movement, his stallion, I think it was a male one, got more entangled in the mud, and he was sinking. So this Baron Münchhausen was very intelligent. He said, I have to get out of here, you know, and the best is I save my valuable stallion. So he put his hand here. It was actually a wig which he was wearing, but because he's a Baron of Lies, you know, it doesn't matter here. He pulled himself with his stallion out of the swamps. And then our educators said, can you believe this story? What's wrong in this story? And we little boys had to identify where this is a lie, you know, intelligent test. I didn't. For me, it was possible. I was, but I didn't pass the test because I'm too gullible. I was very, very gullible. Maybe I'm still gullible. But this was explained to us that someone from outside has to grab someone who sinks in a swamp because you are. Some, I don't know, there was some physical explanation, it's a closed circuit, you know, which it doesn't work, you know. I think you understand. So in the same way, it's not possible for the conditioned soul to become free from conditions because he is conditioned. He has conditioned tools. He can't liberate himself. It's not. This is a lie, you know. You need a force which comes from outside, and in our language this is called the Kripa Shakti, the energy of mercy. And you will soon see why chanting the holy name, although it's Krishna, is not enough if the Kripa Shakti is not invoked. Many chant Krishna's name. The kirtan scene, secular kirtan scene, there are many more who chant than the Hare Krishna devotees, in numbers, I mean. But you need also the Kripa Shakti if you want to make advancement. And I want to show that in this hopefully thought-provocative lecture. So please listen and spot me. I'm from Germany. I might tell you what Baron Münchhausen tells, so you have to be very attentive to check me. I might even say a lie. I will, because I hear you are intelligent student, so let's see if you can catch me. I couldn't catch that Baron from Germany. I'm trying to keep you awake, that's all. So, the holy name has the reason why the holy name is given such preference over all other sadhanas is because it has an inbuilt energy, an energy of its own, a shakti of its own, and that is because it is identical with Krishna. Therefore, there's an analogy, acts like a touchstone, which you can use, and it is so powerful, if you hold it to ordinary metal, then bing, it turns into pure 24 karat gold. This is how the power of the touchstone works when it is released. It's a legendary stone. I know the alchemists of Europe wanted to find it. The holy name is such an active agent that if he comes into your chinta, your consciousness, then it transforms the consciousness by its inherent shakti, the kripa shakti. Krishna has many energies. One of them is his creative shakti by which he creates this universe. But the king of all these varieties of shakti is the most important, which is lauded in the scripture, is his kripa shakti, his energy by which he shows mercy and brings his faithful devotee into his presence. So we have to ask the question, if we have just Krishna's holy name, that is one thing, but if we have the holy name and Krishna decides to release his mercy shakti, then only will the holy name be 100% effective. The result which is given is you will be liberated from material existence, but much more than that, develop pure love of Krishna, and that means your original identity and relationship to God becomes revealed. Wonderful. This is what happens when the Kripa Shakti of the holy name works, when Krishna works. But my dear devotees, if you do not know how to chant, the Lord will withhold his Kripa Shakti, his mercy. And this we see in for instance, I have I'm quite active in the yoga scene. I have friends there, which I'm too shy to mention in the Hare Krishna circles. But I see, because they do not know how to perform the sadhana properly, the Kripa Shakti is not active. They do not become liberated from their, let me use a New York word, which I learned from my New York, in their stuff, they're in problems, you know. They don't become free from that, nor do they develop love of Krishna, but they remain, in cases, can you imagine, they chant Krishna's name, but they can't understand how, but they neglect Krishna's identity, because they don't have they have the name, but not the knowledge how to chant it properly, and therefore this Kripa Shakti of the Lord is withheld by the Lord. No. So we need to know how to perform this simple sadhana. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada goes in a considerable length to explain this. Because remember, this text is a text where the answer now is given, what should be done in Parikshit Maharaj's case to solve his existential dilemma. He had to die. And in a foreseeable future, he knew exactly when. Let us turn to the Padma Purana, and let us turn even more to the Harinam Chintamani, a practice guide how to chant, which quotes the Harinam Chintamani, quotes this ancient source, the Padma Purana, how to perform the sadhana of the holy name. There we hear that two things must be avoided: ignorance of Krishna and your position of who Krishna is, it's called avidya, and also what is called anattas, the unwanted activities which come out of this ignorance. First and foremost, the aparadas or offenses against Krishna. This must be removed in order to see the name purely as he is, Krishna. And an example is given to us. Krishna is compared with a sun, the ball, sun ball, sun planet, the inexhaustible source of energy. In some way, sun is quite inexhaustible, but not totally inexhaustible. But it's there in the sky. It's now even there today in the morning. But when you have the clouds of avidya, or the clouds, or fog, then you can't see the sun. I made this experiment. I went today out of the car and looked up, and I didn't see the sun, but I knew in the morning there must be the sun. But because there was the cloud between me and the sun, I couldn't see it. Or the place where our Manoram was born, Friedrichshafen, it is famous in Germany as the morning fog. Mm. Substantial fog is there. Big, few meters up. When you are in there, you can look, but you can't see the sun. It's surrounding you on all sides. So these two, this is the analogy. Krishna is always there. He is the Supreme Lord, the Adi Purusha, the Janmadyasya, the source of everything else. But as long as we our vision is covered with avidya, with ignorance, and as long as we are creating a mist around us, a fog around us of anattas, unwanted materialistic habits, and the severest is to just blaspheme the Lord and his devotees, then we can't really derive the benefit of Krishna who's there in the holy name. That's an example which is given to us. Now, for lack of time, I can't unpack avidya, ignorance, in great detail, but what it does to you is that you mistake the eternal and blissful and cognizant, means knowing identity or soul, with this temporary material body which is miserable, My assistant this morning was sneezing like anything because he doesn't take his vitamin C. Miserable body. It is not very blissful. And what else? Ignorant. You know, we mistake the eternal soul of Sat-Chit Ananda with this body, which is Asat, Achit, and Nirananda, no bliss. And I mean, you may say, Maharaj, you don't know Florida. There are energy bars which I can eat. This is very blissful, bliss bars. Then we have cinemas, wow, with multidimensional sound. And when I'm bored, I go to Beach Daytona and see the car race and so on. It's not a surrogate for eternal bliss, which bliss without a reason, which is just ever expanding, that we don't have not experienced. So this is the ignorance, my dear devotees, avidya. It's a reversal of identity. You are not any longer in your form. Good. Looking secretly at the time, I want to now to say something hopeful for you. How do I mean, about ignorance, we have Kalakanta. He is teaching us who we are and who is Krishna. So that is taken care of. The offenses, we have to take care of ourselves. I mean, knowledge can be given by an outside source, but the offenses, you have to work on that like anything. Now, all these offenses derive their strengths from one root offense, and that is inattention. Inattention to the holy name. You can easily understand why this is the root, because inattention or turning away from Krishna is the source of our material existence. No? We are here because we turned our face from Krishna. We became Bahya Mukha, outwardly facing, away from Krishna. To cure that, we have to turn our face again to Krishna and become antamukha, is the Sanskrit word for that. So when we chant, we have to correct our bahya mukha chanting, where we turn out away from Krishna and spiritual, into antamukha chanting, where we turn our attention to Krishna. Attention. You can derive knowledge, and I think by when someone can knows the philosophy and can tell you, then you can understand who you are. I'm a soul. I'm a part of Krishna. But now, how do we overcome this offense of inattention? My dear devotees, it's not as easy as just taking some method and turn your head, which is facing away from the Lord or the Holy Name, and just go like... and then you turn to the Lord. That's not so easy. Haridas Thakur, in this practice book, gives a very, very, very interesting verse, which I want to bring to your attention this morning, because for me, this is the key to good chanting. He says, simply, simply, by one's own endeavor, no one in this world can overcome distractedness. Such victory over the mind can only come about by your merciful blessings. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary to beg for your grace. And Haridas Thakur has a prayer which he chants. It says, "My Lord, I am fallen, and you are in your pristine glory. But you have promised to come to this world as your holy name to deliver fallen people. Let that be our relationship. You are the deliverer of the fallen. I am a fallen. You are my deliverer also." He prays very nicely. We have printed these prayers somewhere, if you are interested, you can approach me after the lecture and I can indicate where you can find these prayers. No gentleman can talk about his own book in a public lecture. That's not permissible. So this is a little bit what I have come to bring to you. Chant, my dear devotees, always after the ways of the great authorities, then can you solve your own existential dilemma, you need to learn to chant so that the most important Shakti of the Lord, the Kripa Shakti, His merciful blessings, is not withheld from you. You know, when a master has a servant who has turned away from him and who is talking, this master, and who steals from the master's private stash of energy bars or whatever, then the merciful master will not give his mercy to the servant any longer, his full mercy. He will just maintain him so that every day he has a bowl of khichdi and is not starving to death, you know, and he has his quarters, but he will not give him his full mercy. So when Krishna sees we are offensive towards him or his devotees, Krishna has a soft spot for his devotees in his heart, then he turns away from us, not completely. He gives us our minimal maintenance in this world. No, minimal maintenance is given, but not his full-blown Kripa Shakti, where we become full of Krishna's divine form, think of his character, and basically blossom in love, in divine love of Godhead. No, that will be withheld. So I request all of you to maybe read this purport in your private reading time, where we hear about what we should avoid, the 10 offenses. Prabhupada has a very, very interesting description in this particular purport, because yes, he tells us how we can put this key verse in the Bhagavatam to life. Don't forget, as you try to avoid these offenses, starting with what? Inattention, yes. Starting with inattention. Pray for Krishna's help. Pray for Krishna's mercy. I can't control this mind. It is so, it's like the wind. Arjuna describes this. Wind mind. Pray for mercy. In the Gita, Krishna gives two ways which you should not forget in your practice. Vairagya, practice some detachment from the material world. Don't just gorge yourself with illusions be detached. And abhyasa, have a regular practice in your spiritual life. And this is, the regular practice in relationship to Nam means you must work conscientiously on avoiding the 10 offenses. Then you are an expert practitioner. And then, don't worry, the Kripa Shakti will come and your life will become a miracle. Yes, yes, yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please, my dear devotees, if I can leave you with a little task, please read in your reading time. You can do it on your iPhone 7 Plus or 8 Plus or 5 Minus or whatever. This verse is really, the purport is really good. The way Prabhupada explains the offenses is really nice. And I was there when Prabhupada gave initiations and he asked that this purport is read. So that the new initiates would understand how they can make their practice successful. No? So it's 2:1:11. Maybe you can buy yourself a new mobile telephone just to have this application on it, but read the text, that's the idea. Hare Krishna. So now, Kalakantaji, it's a little late, no?
Yes, breakfast is on.
Yeah, breakfast is
time. Breakfast is there.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for coming.
I thank you, Kalakantaji.
Tonight at 6 o'clock, you'll be here again, correct?
Yes.
This evening? Yes. Evening at 6, so everyone's welcome again to hear some more from Maharaj.
What is our subject this evening?
Happiness.
What? Oh my God, the path for inner happiness. Yes, that's a good subject. Okay, in the evening. Have a nice breakfast and good fire of digestion. Hare Krishna.